a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. A pleasure to have you with us here on a Saturday, final hour of the show, as always. And I hope you enjoyed that first hour, especially our call direct from Everest. These calls on satellite phones, Russ, are always a little sketchy, particularly when Mother Nature's in the way.
No, it seems like it's always that way when we get exotic, doesn't it?
Yeah. And they've had storm after storm after storm. You were explaining to us off the air during the commercial break about the reasons why that happens, and lightning and rain will even cause that problem.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of, for lack of a better term, friction in the air that just causes interference.
Yeah.
I really made all that up, but it sounded good.
That's technical talk. Technical talk right there. Also, Navadauskas is with us in between Chinese food, it turns out.
It's lunchtime for me.
Nice
to be with you, though, Tim.
Not a sandwich today, but actually it's Chinese food. Russ, you okay? It sounds like you fell out of your chair over there. All right. We'll check on Russ coming up here in a minute. Welcome to semi-live radio as we record this program on a Thursday. I mentioned last half hour that we were looking forward to talking with Randy Opplinger about this Bear Lake Lake Trout Research Project that is coming up, and Randy joins us now. Let me just see if Russ is back with it. You there, Russ?
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
We were getting ready with the paramedics.
Yeah, we were going to call 911.
The dog wanted my plate. I had to fight her for it.
And so
knocked the phone off.
So goes the battle. So on that end, let me just map this out for the listeners. Navadauskas is in the middle of Chinese. Russ is battling the dog for his sandwich, and Randy, it turns out, is in the laundry room at home. So if you hear the tumble of clothes, that's what's going on at the Opplinger household. Randy, how are you?
Hey, not too bad. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. I asked you before we jumped on, do you know if your wife put in whites or colors? Because I've got things that need to be washed. But
yeah, I've got no idea what's in there right now. I just kind of snuck in and threw some stuff and said, I'm going to run laundry right now. And that's what's going on.
I love it. When we started the show today, I guessed, and I guessed radically wrong, that maybe what we were going to talk about at Bear Lake with lake trout was similar to what's going on at Flaming Gorge, where the effort is to get some of those lake trout out. You're going to get lake trout out, but for different reasons, right?
Well, we got actually a couple things going on at Bear Lake involving lake trout that are going to happen here, really starting June, going for maybe a week or 2 weeks. And, you know, really, Idaho is spearheading this work. The first thing that we've got going on is a research study on lake trout at Bear Lake. So, you know, just a little bit of history. Lake trout have been in Bear Lake for about 100 years or so. The first lake trout we put in up through about 2002 were fertile fish. So these are fish that are able to reproduce. But I think, as many people know, Bear Lake is home to some fish species that are found in Bear Lake, but nowhere else in the world. So a couple whitefish species, Cisco species, a sculpin species, and then they're not unique to the lake, but they're certainly a very notable cutthroat trout population that our anglers like to fish for. But because of those native fish, you know, we're interested in protecting those fish, and lake trout are a non-native species. So what we did in 2002 is we switched over to managing lake trout with sterile fish in Bear Lake. So these sterile fish are not able to reproduce. And from a management perspective, since they can't reproduce, we don't have to worry about their populations expanding to such a level if they start having a detrimental impact on these native fishes. But at Bear Lake, these lake trout live for a very long time. So we've got lake trout that were stocked in the late 80s, the 90s, that are fertile fish that can reproduce. And we're interested in those fish, and they're still there. Are they reproducing? Are they contributing younger, fertile individuals to the population that could reproduce and eventually lead to increases in numbers of lake trout in that lake that could have an impact on our native fishes in that water? So what we're doing is this is being spearheaded by Idaho. They're out collecting about 400 or so lake trout in the lake, and they're doing blood samples on those fish. And really what the goal is to determine the percentage of those fish that truly are sterile, so they're not able to reproduce. And we're going to use that information to detect whether there is natural reproduction going on that lake. And, you know, what really this project is all about is getting some evidence, some information, doing a little research that's going to provide us some information about Bear Lake itself. And what that information is going to do is really help us manage that fishery, help us protect our cutthroat in that fishery, our native fish. And it's going to really help us kind of tailor in the management of lake trout within Bear Lake.
Navi, jump in here.
Yeah, a couple things. First, I'm interested. Idaho's interested because we share that lake with that state, correct?
Yes, we share that lake with the state. So there's mutual interest between both states for the management of Bear Lake. So, you know, both of us have responsibilities. Both of us have our portion of the lake that we manage. But we work collaboratively, and both of us
goal of... It makes perfect sense that we would share the same interest there. The next question is, you mentioned at the beginning that the lake trout have been there for 100 years. And I want to know about the very first stocking. Can you give me information about how they first got there 100 years ago?
You know, to be completely honest with you, I don't know. I know the year that they were put in, it was 1911, I believe, or give or take a year from that they were put in the lake. You know, at that time, we were getting fish a couple different ways. You know, this was the start of hatchery programs in the country, so we may have had a hatchery program, but also at that time, we were collecting fish from other states and putting them in rail cars and driving live fish across the country and dumping them in our lake. So it could have been that way, too. I'm not sure how they got in there. I just know the year.
Yeah, I just wanted to know from where we got them, what kind of strain that was. And it's amazing. You know, it's just amazing how 100 years still matters.
Well, and it looks like this is a great opportunity for the Utah Division of Wildlife, Randy, because if the Idaho Department of Fish and Game is spearheading this, you probably save on the cost side, but you get a chance to do a couple of different things in research.
Exactly. I mean, it's nice that Idaho's been spearheading this. They've been a great partner with this project, and it's really nice for them to take this on and get us some information that's going to be, you know, really valuable to the management of our fishery at Bear Lake.
What's their interest?
So you're worried about?
Go ahead.
You're worried about numbers growing, and I can see that because of those species that we have are unique. We've got to protect them. My question is, what's your advice to anglers when they catch a Mackinaw? Should they take it? Are they benefiting the fishery, or does it matter? Do we release it? What's your suggestion?
You know, we've got a long-term data set at Bear Lake, and we've been managing that fishery for a long time. And, you know, right now, you know, we think through the management of these sterile fish that we've been putting in there that our lake trout population is doing well. It's providing an opportunity for anglers to catch something different at Bear Lake. But at the same time, that's not having any detriment to these native fish right now. So, you know, my advice to anglers is do what you want to do. You know, if it's a fish you want to take home, take it home. If you feel like you want to release it, go ahead and release it. We don't have any specific advice for anglers to really do anything different with the lake trout that they catch.
What's their interest in putting these 400 or so lake trout into Stanley, which I think is one of the most beautiful spots on the planet?
Yeah, that's the second part of this project. So as I mentioned, the first part is to get this background information on the sterility of the fish so we could get some information that's going to really help us improve the management of Bear Lake and understand what's going on with lake trout. But the second kind of part of this, and this is part of Idaho's involvement, is the transfer of up to 400 lake trout from Bear Lake up into Stanley Lake. So the story here is Stanley Lake, as you know, it's a central part of Idaho. It's got one of the longest sockeye salmon runs in the world running into it. And that sockeye salmon population hasn't been doing well, and Idaho's really been doing a lot of work to bring that run back. I mean, they've done great work. They've been very successful. But what they've identified is they have a fertile, so reproducing lake trout population at Stanley Lake. And those lake trout, because they can reproduce, they don't have good control over their numbers, they're having an impact on these sockeye salmon. So what Idaho has done is they've been netting that lake extensively to remove these lake trout. And then what they're looking to do is find a source of sterile lake trout to put some lake trout back into the lake. So Idaho is stocking lake trout into Stanley Lake, so that's kind of how they've been getting some fish back. But those are small fish. Lake trout don't do well in hatcheries. They're stocking them at 7 inches or so. And it takes probably 10, 20 years for a lake trout to grow to a size where anglers could really appreciate that lake trout. So what they're trying to do is get their hands on just a few fish and put them into Stanley Lake, so they're larger, they're catchable size fish. So they're after 400 or up to 400 sterile fish. They're really taking all sizes. So they're not necessarily after the trophy fish. They're after really anything that can get it bigger than the 7-inch fish that they're stocking right now. And, you know, one thing I want to point out is, you know, this question's come up a bunch, but we've got some population estimates on the size of the lake trout population at Bear Lake. And we know back in 1995, that population was about 16,000 lake trout. And we know since then, we've stocked a lot of fish. We have evidence of populations even bigger than that. So it turns out that this number of fish, this up to 400 fish that Idaho's looking to take, is maybe upwards of 2.5% of the total lake trout population. It's probably much less than that because we have evidence of populations bigger than the 1995 estimate.
There may be some fishermen that love to fish Bear Lake that were a little angry you're going to give away some of the fish, but that's good to know. And the fact that, and they might find this number interesting, you stock 17,000 sterile lake trout in Bear Lake every year. So there's still a lot of fish to be caught up there. We're going to have to leave it there, Randy. We're out of time. But as always, thanks for helping to explain exactly what's happening at Bear Lake.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Tim.
We're hoping to make a connection here, fingers crossed, on the satellite phone with Bob Grove, who is on a tour right now. So we'll try and make that connection when we come back here on KSL Outdoors Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.